Tension after a brief series on the, introducing the five books of the Psalms, then to come up with a psalm each month for the rest of my time. Well, my time has changed, but I still want to get one more psalm in. And in the Sundays left, I want to, I like the privilege of preaching from some of my favorite books. And in other words, Isaiah in the Old Testament and the Gospel of John in the New. But Psalm is just a, I love the Psalms. Hear the reading of God's word in Psalm 144. Blessed be the Lord, my rock, who trains my hands for war and my fingers for battle, my loving kindness and my fortress, my stronghold and my deliverer, my shield and he in whom I take refuge, who subdues my people under me. O Lord, what is man that you take knowledge of him, or the son of man that you think of him? Man is like a mere breath. His days are like a passing shadow. Bow your heavens, O Lord, and come down. Touch the mountains that they may smoke. Flash forth lightning and scatter them. Send out your arrows and confuse them. Stretch forth your hand from on high. Rescue me and deliver me out of great waters, out of the hand of aliens whose mouth speak deceit and whose right hand is a right hand of falsehood. I will sing a new song to you, O God. Upon a harp of 10 strings, I will sing praises to you, who gives salvation to kings, who rescues David, his servant, from the evil sword. Rescue me and deliver me out of the hand of aliens, whose mouth speaks deceit and whose right hand is a right hand of falsehood. Let our sons in their youth be as grown-up plants and our daughters as corner pillars fashioned as for a palace. Let our garners be full, furnishing every kind of produce, and our flocks bring forth thousands and 10,000s in our fields. Let our cattle bear without mishap and without loss. Let there be no outcry in our streets. How blessed are the people who are so situated. How blessed are the people whose God is the Lord. May the Lord bless us for the reading of his word. When we presented a series on the Psalms, it was titled Psalms for Praise and Prayer. And again, every psalm is a help for us to help us praise God and pray to him. And this one is no different. But I've entitled this A Prayer for Prosperity, drawn to the last part of the last verse where it says, how blessed are the people whose God is the Lord. No doubt we'll sing what we heard. We did sing. Ha! God bless America. And we'll sing My Country Tis of Thee or America the Beautiful, and a recognition that every good thing in this country that God has blessed us with is a blessing, is a gift from God. But more than spacious skies, more than amber waves of grain, more than purple mountains' majesty, more even than material wealth, more than education, more than prosperity, more than freedom itself, what is the blessing with which God has blessed America? It is himself. None of these things are unique. It is God's blessing to us that stands alone. So in this passage we hear, how blessed are the people whose God is the Lord, and then it is, the psalm fills it out. And so what is this blessing? Well, it's something we fight for, it's something we wait for, and something we pray for. And as we look at that, and we look at how we fight for it, how we wait for it, how we pray for it, I think in every one of these, in every one of these verbs, what we do, there is gospel encouragement. There is the blessing of what God does for us. What is it? What is this blessing? Well, it's something we fight for. Now, I realize that's not what people think of from the Bible, but David says, blessed be the Lord, my rock, who trains my hands for war and my fingers for battle. Now, all the NRA people are probably saying, yay, amen, in your hearts. But it is a battle. God's blessing includes putting us in a battle. It'd be nice, you say, well, I trust God and God has blessed us, and there's no struggles in life, and there's nothing to fight against, nothing to work against. But the fact of the matter is, from the Garden of Eden till now, yes, sin is in the world, and the creation has been subjected to futility or been enslaved to corruption because of man's sin. And so if God loves us, if God cares for us, he doesn't abandon us to sin, but he calls us to be part of his plan for restoration and renewal, for change. Well, that's a scary word in the church, isn't it? Change. But he says, blessed be the Lord who trains me for battle. Yes, we could wish that we would be exempt from the struggle against sin and injustice and unkindness. And if we're exempt, then we wouldn't even struggle with it ourselves. But we're not exempt. We struggle with it personally. We struggle against sin and evil in our culture, in our country. The scripture says in Romans, but if you're putting to death the deeds of the flesh, you will live. If you're putting to death by the Spirit the deeds of the flesh. In other words, I could have chosen for him. I probably should have. Onward, Christian soldiers, or stand up for Jesus. Because part of his blessing is that he's put us in his army contra or against sin. There's a battle. But right away, David, now here's the good news. David recognizes, yes, there's a battle, and you put me. David's battles were really big. David had a lot of physical warlike battles, and yet we're not called to conquer other nations. We're not called to use the sword to force people, to coerce people into believing in Jesus, like some religions use force to do that. We understand the power of the Spirit, but we go out in the power of the Spirit with the gospel. And here's what David says. 10 things he gives us right away for how the Lord is with us in this battle, because this holy war is his holy war. First of all, he says, the Lord is my rock. He is the stable one, secure. He is solid. He is solidly for us. He goes on to say, and he trains me. He doesn't just abandon us to the battle, but he equips us for the battle. He trains us for the battle, which is physical, emotional, and spiritual. He goes on to say, he is my loving kindness. Now, what is that? He is the security of my belonging to him in his love, that he's holding in his love. And as Romans says, there's nothing that can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. If we are in him, we go to battle, but we are secure forever, for eternity, in his love. 4, he's a stronghold, a safe, secure place. In God, he is my security. He goes on, 5th, he said, he's my deliverer. He delivers me from enemies. And every one of us can point to times when we have been delivered, where God has delivered us from one issue after another. He says also that he is a shield. He is a shield to protect me. He is a refuge or a tower of strength. Or then this quirky one here, he says, who subdues my people under me. In other words, he goes before me to make what he gives me to do work out. Does that make sense? You know, we think it's all on us to make everything work out that we're trying to do. No, God is the one who goes before us and makes us effective in accomplishing his purposes. Sometimes it doesn't feel effective. Sometimes it feels like we're losing. Sometimes we feel like we're losing it. But we understand that we're in God. The way we face and treat life, sometimes it's by being sheep led to the slaughter. God is working at his good purposes in our lives. He goes on to say, what is man? You know, what are we, God? He condescends to know us. He cares to know us. So we go into battle with the creator of heaven and earth, the sovereign King of kings and Lord of lords, caring for us, knowing us. He secures us. So what is the blessing? What is this blessing we fight for? To be God's people, to be God's instruments in this earth by his Spirit to combat evil, starting with our own hearts, confessing our sin, but realize he put us in society to work against sin and evil. This blessing that we have is to fight for the good by the grace of God. Second, we wait for the blessing. Now, David goes on in, the psalmist goes on in verse 5. He says, this battle is too much. Now, this is too much. It's overwhelming. If it's all about me and what I'm doing, if it's about us and what we're doing, we need divine intervention. So he says, bow your heavens, O Lord, and come down. Touch the mountains. God, show your power and might. God, do it. We human beings, we are so tiny. God, show your greatness. One point of fact, he's done this several times in history. First of all, was the flood is the biggest. Well, creation's kind of big, but the flood was really big. Evil had built up, and he sent a flood and wiped out the whole earth except for one family, eight persons who were brought through the flood. Or another time, they built a big tower. And this time he didn't have to knock the tower down. He just confused their tongues, and they all end up having to scatter. Or then when the children of Israel were in bondage in Egypt with those ten plagues, were those not divine interventions? And he brought them out of captivity. And then he took them to Sinai, and he literally came down on the mountain, and the mountain shook and trembled. There was lightning and fire. And he spoke and carved his law for his people and gave his law to Moses. And then he communed with Moses. And when he was in the tent of meeting and Moses would be there, the presence of God and cloud would come down. And Moses would commune with God, divine intervention. And then the conquest of Canaan. And then when they were taken to exile and they were brought back from exile with Cyrus, a pagan king, signed the order to let them go back. Over and over and over again, God has intervened. There has been divine intervention. Yes, he uses us. Yes, he fights through us. But there have been times of divine intervention. And the biggest one of all, so far, is Jesus. Jesus came. God became a man. He took on human flesh. He took on our form. He took on our life of sin and vulnerability and weakness. And he was tempted in every way, except not succumbing to temptation. And he gave his blood. He died on the cross. God gave his life on the cross. He bore our judgment on the cross. This, you say, what kind of blessing is this? Well, this is where he paid the penalty of our sin to make us new, to make us clean and pure. Given new hearts by trusting and relying on him. Even Christians sometimes, we can lose sight of the greatness of our God and how he has, in fact, intervened. We live in a culture that essentially denies the supernatural. Except maybe voodoo. There's a little place for some voodoo and that kind of magic. But in our culture, if you are a believer in God, and you are, as a believer in God, you are considered to be anti-scientific. The God of this world is about science. What man can discern, what man can discover, what man can figure out, that is what counts, what fits humanity. And so if you believe in God, well, that's just your idea. That's just your religious thought. Honestly, I think our culture has more confidence in the possibility of aliens coming from outer space than it does in God who created this world. Does that make sense? Well, no, it doesn't make sense at all. It's the ignorance of sin. God has intervened. And if you've come to believe in him and put your trust in him, he has intervened in your life. Because you weren't born believing. Is that good news? Is that good news? And the God who intervenes will keep on intervening. He does it in quiet ways. It's not all on us and having to happen through us. There are times when God intervenes and he brings a judgment or he brings some movement or great. There are changes that happen that are beyond. No, we don't control the weather. There are things that God does. And we wait for his intervention. We fight for his blessing. We wait for his blessing. In the third place, we pray for his blessing. By the way, that's a blessing to be able to pray. To have access to the King of Kings, the Creator of heaven and earth. Why don't we pray more than we do? I mean, that's just a rhetorical question, obviously. What wonderful opportunity to have access. So, all of this, we're in a fight against sin. We're trusting and relying on his divine intervention, and he gives us the opportunity to pray, to seek him for help. And he gives us three things here, three areas. He says, first of all, pray for our sons and our daughters. Who would have thought that we would live to see the day when we needed the Bible to tell us that there's a difference between sons and daughters? I read something this week of a high school senior who, you know, the seniors were supposed to get up in a school assembly and just kind of tell the underclassmen what they had learned. And one young man said, "Guys, we are guys. Girls are girls." He was not allowed to graduate in America. There's a difference between sons and daughters. Yes. And he tells us to pray for our sons and daughters. And you know, he doesn't say pray for yourself. He's already said God is my help. God is my fortress. God, you know, I'm trusting in God. But number one responsibility he gives us is for our sons and daughters. And if you don't have sons and daughters, it's in your family, in your extended family, to pray for our families. Pray for the younger ones coming in. Pray for the ones that aren't kin to you at all, the unborn that are being squashed out by so many people. Pray for our sons and daughters. We had a lady in our church, in one of our churches in Portugal. Okay, all of us have little prayer phrases that we just use without thinking. Thank you for this food, amen. And there's a lady in church, whenever she prayed, she would always quote this verse, "Oh Lord, may our sons be as plants in your house, and our daughters," and she had a daughter, "and our daughters as beautiful corner pillars in your palaces." You know, but she prayed that every time in her prayers, but she's really right. Praying for our sons and daughters. They'll come to know, not just that they'll be beautiful, not that they'll be just productive as plants, but they'll be productive in the house of God. That they'll come to know Him. That God will get a hold of their hearts, so their hearts are changed, so they want to be with the people of God. Then he goes on to pray for abundance and for material, in the material realm. But God bless us. And as a general rule, when we are relying on God, He does bless us. When we pray and ask Him to give us prosperity for the sake of His kingdom and His glory, He does it as a rule, as a general rule. We are in a culture that there's so much that we love about our country and our way of life that has gradually over the years has taken God out of the center of our national consciousness, if I could use that term, and put humanity or whatever we think, whatever, you know, freedom to be whatever. We've taken God, in a sense, off the throne of who He is. An evangelical community, I read a statistic last night. Yeah, you should all read. You won't, but I started a book last night called Toxic Masculinity. And you've heard all this. You've heard all this about how evangelical Christians who believe that there should be complementarianism in the home, that the husband should. The husband, the father, should be the leader, the spiritual leader of the family. And you hear our culture saying, and yes, there's so much abuse in the church. And you hear these so-called statistics that are out there. And yet, according to this book, Social Science, and she cites the studies that show that among evangelical believers, And it's defined as people who attend church, an evangelical church, regularly, sit under the Word of God or in the fellowship of believers, people who go to church, just like you are here this morning, that the incidence of abuse, statistically, is barely on the charts as compared to the secular culture. That's not what you hear in the media. But now the flip side of that is not happy news. Is that among those who claim to be believers but are nominal, in other words, mostly in name, you know, Christmas and Easter, occasionally, we all believe in God, don't we? Everybody, I heard that everybody in Tallahatchie who dies goes to heaven, that kind of thing. Among nominals who have some sense of what the Bible teaches, there's where the instance of abuse in the home and divorce rates and dissatisfaction in marriage jumps up higher than the culture. In other words, it sounds to me like it's more dangerous to be a fake Christian than to be a pagan. Any fake Christians in our community? Are there any that claim to be in Christ but aren't involved in the life of a church? I'm not saying just this church, but a church. If we want the blessing of God, he says, yeah, we got to fight for it. Yes, we got to wait for it. Yes, we got to pray for it. God bless our sons and our daughters. God bless our grandchildren. Bless our nieces and nephews. Bless them, Father, for the world that they are coming up in, that they might know you and be fruitful and prosperous. So what is the blessing? I'm getting a call from Sherman, by the way. So Sherman must be alive and well, and I'm going to... I've been trying to get a hold of him for a couple of weeks, and so he finally responds. What a wonderful time. What is the blessing? It's God. What is the blessing that we have in America? It's God. The opportunity that every one of us has had and that our sons and daughters still have, our grandchildren still have, to have freedom, to worship, to honor, to fight for this blessing, to wait for this blessing, to pray for it. And I close with a prayer that was not written by me, but it reflects, it says better than I can say to pull this together. So would you pray with me? Would you bow and pray with me? Father God, this nation is truly blessed. But the true blessing of America is not America itself, but Jesus. We praise you ultimately for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, and his saving work for all. We also praise you for your past protection of this nation and for your grace and mercy throughout this nation's history. We ask for your continued blessing on this nation as we celebrate its strengths and lift up its weaknesses to you. Where we as your people need to repent, we repent. Where we as your people need to stand against this nation's enemies, we pray that we stand in your strength and stay true to your word. May the love of Christ exude from our lives and bring your light to any darkness that we encounter. Help us to stay faithful and patient, ever grateful for the blessing of you, yourself, your presence, your power, and love. And we ask it respectfully in the name of Jesus. Amen. Would you stand for the benediction? And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all now and forever. Amen.